Thank you, Brother Green.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Has everybody got their Christmas shopping done?
No.
That's okay, you're in good company. A wife once asked her husband, "Bob, why do you always wait until the last minute to do your Christmas shopping?" And Bob replied, "I don't think of it as last minute shopping. I think of it as shopping 12 months in advance." And it was Christmas Eve, and Bob was late coming home, so his wife Sue called to see where he was. She said, "Bob, where are you? It's Christmas Eve, and you know we have lots to do." Bob said, "Do you remember that jewelry store that we went into about 10 years ago? And you fell in love with a diamond necklace there. And I couldn't afford it at the time, but I said that one day I would get it for you. Do you remember that store?" Little tears started to flow down Sue's cheek, and she got all choked up and she said, "Oh yes, Bob, I do remember that store. Is that where you are?" And Bob replied, "No, I'm at the gas station next door to it filling up the car, but I'll be home in a few minutes." Let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this Christmas season, we celebrate your willingness to come to earth and live among us as a man. By your birth, you brought love and light into the world, and by your death, you brought forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life.
Yes, you.
We take time today to acknowledge you as the Prince of Peace, who has freed us from fear and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, both now and forevermore.
Thank you, Lord.
May our hearts and minds be turned toward what you have for us today. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Vivian, if you would, or Joy, if you would put that... Oh, we have had a change up back there. Changing of the guard. If you could put that first slide up, please, for me, I'd appreciate it. Most of you probably know who this is. This is Will Smith, actor. Big Hollywood movie star, been in lots of movies. Well, Will Smith was once speaking to an audience about how he got talked into going skydiving. Will had been out with a group of his friends one night, and his friends started talking about how great it would be to go skydiving, and so they made plans to go, and they wanted Will to come along. Now, Will had never been skydiving before, and he wasn't too sure about this plan. He wasn't too sure that he wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. But his friends were kind of twisting his arm and putting some pressure on him to come along and go skydiving with them. So Will finally agreed to do it. So the night before they were to go skydiving, Will described how he was just filled with fear and dread about what was going to happen the next day. He said he tossed and turned and didn't get any sleep at all that night. And the next morning he was so anxious and fearful that his stomach was tied up in knots and he couldn't even manage to eat breakfast. But he goes on out to the airfield and gets on the plane anyway, and so he and his friends go up into the sky. And while the plane is in the air, Will is looking at these two lights that were on the wall inside the plane. A red light and a green light. If the red light was on, it meant that it wasn't time to jump yet. But when the green light came on, it meant that it was time to jump. So Will is just sitting there staring at these lights and dreading the moment when the red light goes off and the green light comes on, which of course it eventually does. Then he gets up and stands at the open airplane door, paralyzed with fear as the instructor behind him counts to three for them to jump. But what Will didn't realize was that the instructor doesn't wait until the count of three to push you out the door. He pushes you out on two because he knows that on three you're going to grab onto something and not let go. So on the count of two, out the door they go. As they left the airplane and began falling through the air, Will said that there was a complete change in the way that he felt. He immediately went from being terrified and afraid to being thrilled and exhilarated. He said that the experience wasn't like anything he had imagined. He didn't feel like he was falling at all. In fact, he felt like he was flying like a bird, and his fear was replaced by delight and enjoyment. He said that dive became one of the most thrilling and memorable experiences of his life, and once he got to the ground, he couldn't wait to go up and do it again. And it left him wondering why he had been so anxious and so fearful and emotionally drained the night before. As Will ended his story, he told the audience that his skydiving experience had taught him a very important lesson. Joy, if you'd go to the next slide, please. God has placed the best things in life just on the other side of our fear. God has placed the best things in life just on the other side of our fear. Brothers and sisters, God puts blessings in front of us all the time, but sometimes to get to those blessings, we have to take that first scary step out the door. But if we do, God is waiting there on the other side of our fear to pour out those blessings on us and replace that fear with boldness and confidence and even joy.
Amen.
So I've entitled this message, The Other Side of Our Fear. And I'd like to continue by reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. 1 Peter 1, beginning in 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now, in these last days, he has been revealed to you for your sake. Brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life, and he made that plan long before you were ever born. Before the world was ever created, he knew that sin would come into the world and that the world would need a Savior. Before Adam and Eve were ever created, God knew that they would disobey him and that they would give in to the temptation of the serpent in the garden. So before the world, or Adam, or Eve, or anything else was ever created, God had already put a plan into motion to ransom mankind from sin and the devil. Let's look at verse 20 again. God chose him, who?
Jesus.
God chose Jesus as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation refers to Jesus as the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. God planned ahead. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to fall. He knew that his chosen people, Israel, were going to reject him. And he knew that each one of us, brothers and sisters, would one day be born into sin and would need a Savior. Yeah. So God put his plan into motion long before the world was made, so that at just the right time, Jesus would leave the splendor of heaven. He would be born of a woman. He would dwell among men, and he would one day bear our iniquities on the cross and give his life to bring salvation to us and to the world.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Oh, thank you. I'd now like us to look at Ephesians 1, 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. In fact, I'd like to ask you for just a moment, please stand if you would for just a moment, everybody. And I'd like for us to read this verse together. And where you see the word us, substitute the word me. Let's all read it together. Even before He made the world, God loved me and chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And there's another scripture, remain standing, and there's another scripture that I'd like to look at, Psalm 139, verse 16. Let's read this one together. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, you may think that you've done some things that have taken God by surprise, but you haven't. He knew every moment of your life before you were even conceived, and He loved you and chose you before He even ever made the world. And even after the fall in the garden, even after sin entered the world and a wall of separation went up between God and man, He never gave up on us. Throughout the centuries, He has unfailingly demonstrated His great love for us even while we were yet sinners.
Amen.
And He reminds us over and over again in His Word that even when we leave Him, He never leaves us.
Amen. Amen.
When that old serpent, the devil, deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he stole all the blessings that God had created for mankind to enjoy. The God-given emotions of love and joy and peace that Adam and Eve had been blessed with were replaced by the emotions of hatred, jealousy, anger, and fear. In fact, the very first emotion mentioned in the Bible after the fall was fear. The Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve realized what they had done and when the enormity of their sin came crashing down on their heads, they hid from God because they were afraid.
Yes.
Fear had entered the world. Fear robs us of our peace and our sleep. It keeps us up at night. Fear saps our strength and takes away our hope. Fear weighs us down and affects our health. It ties our stomach up in knots. Fear discourages us and leads to hopelessness and despair. Fear consumes our thoughts and energies and paralyzes us. And fear renders us powerless against the enemy and ineffective in carrying out God's will. Fear brings torment, but the perfect love that Jesus has for us casts out all fear.
Amen.
He is the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We no longer have to live in fear. We can live in boldness and confidence and hope, knowing that no man can snatch us out of Jesus' nail-scarred hands.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the Old Testament, that stretch of time between the fall of mankind and the coming of Jesus, there are over 80 recorded instances where God came to people and said, "Do not be afraid." Let me give you just a few examples which are just as applicable to us today as they were back then. To Abram, he said, "Do not be afraid, for I am your shield, your very great reward." To Moses, he said, "Do not be afraid, for I have delivered the enemy into your hands."
Amen.
To the children of Israel, he said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will never leave you nor forsake you." To Joshua, he said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord himself fights for you and will be with you wherever you go." To King Solomon, he said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you."
Glory.
To King Hezekiah, he said, "Do not be afraid of the enemy, because there is a greater power with you than with him."
Thank you, Lord.
To those who returned from captivity in Babylon, he said, "Do not be afraid, for my spirit remains among you." And my personal favorite, to King Jehoshaphat, he said, Do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need only to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, God has a plan, and that plan includes you. He chose you before the world began to be a part of that plan. So you don't have to go through life in fear. You can go through life with boldness and confidence and peace, secure in the knowledge that you are part of God's plan.
Amen.
And God's plan isn't a secret. Throughout the Old Testament, God sent his prophets among the people to proclaim his plan for mankind.
Amen.
A plan to bring a Redeemer, a Messiah, into the world who would bring light and salvation and deliverance to all people. God plainly revealed his plan through the scriptures and through the prophets to those who had ears to hear. As I was preparing this message, I kept constantly being drawn to the book of that great prophet Isaiah. Isaiah lived over 700 years before Jesus was born. But in spite of that, he saw the coming of Jesus and recognized Jesus as the Messiah more clearly than most people did even in Jesus' own day. By the Spirit of God, Isaiah's vision stretched out across an immense gulf of time, and he looked 700 years into the future, and he saw Jesus' entire life spread out before him. Here are just a few of the things that Isaiah saw. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light will shine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will preach good tidings to the poor. He will heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prisons to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing.
Glory to God.
The Gentiles shall come to his light, and kings to the brightness of his rising. Nations who do not know him shall run to him.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
And all our children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. At the end of the Old Testament, after Malachi, there was a period of about 400 years where God's plan falls silent and nothing is recorded. But then at the end of that 400-year period, God the Father arose from his throne and issued commands to the angels and said, "It is time to go now and remind people once again that there is no need to be afraid. It's time for the Prince of Peace to go and dwell among men. It's time for the Dayspring from on high, the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, to leave heaven so that he can give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and guide their feet into the way of peace."
Hallelujah.
So God sent his angels to proclaim the good news. Not to kings and governors and political rulers of the day, not to the Pharisees and Sadducees and religious rulers of the day, not to the rich and wealthy people of the day, but to the least likely people you could imagine.
Thank you, God.
A carpenter, a teenage girl, and a group of shepherds out in the field tending to their flocks of sheep. After 400 years of silence, God's message to Joseph was, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." God's message to Mary was, "Do not be afraid. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be called the Son of the Highest." And God's message to the shepherds was, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When you look at it closely, God's message to Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds was basically the same. Do not be afraid. I'm opening a door. And if you'll just trust me and step through that door, the best part of your life will be on the other side of your fear.
Yes.
Now I'd like to read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph was a man with a problem. He was engaged to a young woman, which in their culture was practically the same thing as being married, except without the sexual relationship. But here was Mary, already pregnant, and Joseph trying to figure out what he needed to do. Now, I truly don't believe that Joseph was ashamed of Mary. I don't think that he was angry with her. I think that he loved her and that he was afraid for her, because he knew what the law of Moses required. Here's what the law of Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24. Suppose a man meets a young woman, a virgin who is engaged to be married, and he has sexual intercourse with her. If this happens within a town, you must take both of them to the gates of that town and stone them to death. The woman is guilty because she did not scream for help. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. Joseph knew what the self-righteous Pharisees and other religious leaders of the day would say if they found out. They'd say, "Joseph, if you have any self-respect and pride about you at all, then you need to assert your rights and uphold your honor and do what the law requires. You need to have this little tramp dragged out into the street and have her stoned to death. Not only did she cheat on you, Joseph, but she gave her virginity to another man and got pregnant in the process. You have every right, every legal right and obligation to demand satisfaction and have her put to death." But I believe that before the creation of the world, God had already chosen Joseph to be Mary's husband, because he knew the kind of man Joseph was. He knew that Joseph was a compassionate man with a kind and forgiving heart. But Joseph needed a little guidance, because he was just planning to put Mary away secretly, divorce her quietly, sweep her under the rug and pretend she never existed. Up to that point, it hadn't occurred to Joseph that God had a plan of his own and that God had chosen Joseph to be part of that plan. Joseph didn't realize that he had a crucial role to play in God's plan. He would be the one to find a place for Mary to have the baby. He would be the one to deliver the baby. He would be the one to protect Mary and the baby and get them safely to Egypt until King Herod died. And he would be the one to bring Mary and the baby back to Galilee, where he would raise the Son of God as his own son. But Joseph wasn't thinking that far ahead. He was making plans of his own. So God had to step in. Let's read on in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. As God had said so many times in the Old Testament, now he's ushering in the New Testament by saying to Joseph, "Do not be afraid, for I have a plan for your life, I have a plan for Mary's life, and I have a plan for the life of her unborn baby. If you'll just trust me with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding, I will direct your paths and I will always be with you." Now, I don't know that Joseph was an especially brave man. In fact, we know very little about his life beyond what I just read to you.
Right.
But it's clear that he had enough faith and courage to trust God and obey him without hesitation. Every time Joseph was visited by an angel, he immediately did what he was told. He took Mary as his wife. He took Mary and Jesus to Egypt to protect Jesus from being killed by King Herod. He brought Mary and Jesus back from Egypt and settled in Nazareth of Galilee. And he raised Jesus as his own son. But Joseph wasn't the only one that God was speaking to in those days. He was speaking to Mary as well. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, talking about the sixth month after her cousin Elizabeth became pregnant, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Like Joseph, Mary is about to go through a door and down a path that she could not have imagined in her wildest dreams, certainly not the life that most teenage girls envision for themselves. Joseph and Mary were both visited by an angel, but they had very different needs. Joseph needed guidance and direction. He just needed to know what to do, so God told him. Mary, on the other hand, needed reassurance. So the angel very gently and patiently told her what she needed to hear. "Mary, you are highly favored. Mary, the Lord is with you. Mary, you are blessed among women. Mary, you have found favor with God." In fact, I believe these words apply to all you ladies here today, just as much as they did to Mary 2,000 years ago. I would like for all of you ladies to stand for just a moment, just the ladies, just rise for a moment. And I'd like for you to repeat after me and let these words sink deep into your heart. Repeat after me. I am highly favored.
I am highly favored.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
I am blessed among women.
I am blessed among women.
I have found favor with God.
I have found favor with God.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. After this, the angel went on to explain to Mary what was about to happen. Let's continue reading in verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
Praise God.
And the angel departed from her. Once again, God has chosen the least likely people to carry out his most important work. He ushered in the New Testament, the new covenant between God and man, by using a carpenter and a teenage girl from an obscure province on the edge of the Roman Empire that no one had ever heard of. If God can use people like Mary and Joseph to carry out his plan, then he can use anyone. He can use you and he can use me.
Amen.
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 The only qualification Joseph and Mary had, and the only qualification God required, was a willingness to put their fear behind them and step through the doors that God opened. That's why he chose them before the creation of the world, just like he did you. For those who have a willing heart, obeying God doesn't bring fear. It brings the blessings that are just on the other side of that fear. The Lord never promised Mary and Joseph an easy future. And Mary was no doubt old enough to understand that her life was about to go down a very different path than the one most teenage girls envision. She would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. She would have to ride a donkey all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem and have her baby in a barn. She would have to flee her home and go to Egypt to protect her child from a king who wanted to kill him. And 30 years later, she would stand at the foot of a cross and look up and watch that same child die a slow and painful death. But God's message to Mary, and his message to all of us, is that no matter what happens, it's all part of the plan that he put into motion before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, you and I are a part of that plan, and we don't have to be afraid of anything in this life, because the Lord will be with us through it all.
Thank you, Lord.
If you would, please stand with me, everyone. Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I'd like to ask Sister Karen to come forward and lead us in a song. And while she's getting set up, I just want to say that the kingdom of God is not yet here in the natural, and it won't be until Jesus returns. But the kingdom of God is already here in the spirit, and it's operating within each one of us even now.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is within you.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
The world is headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. But for those who love the Lord, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
God wants you to have an abundant life, and he wants you to experience every spiritual blessing that he has to offer. But he can't do that if you're bound by fear. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to have a spirit of fear. As children of God, you have authority, you have power over the enemy, and you can lay hold of a spirit of joy and peace that casts out all fear.
Thank you, Lord.
The Holy Spirit will give you that peace if you'll just invite him in and allow him to rule and reign in your hearts. Sister Karen, please lead us.
Let's test it. I don't see it. His song is Fear Not.
Christians need to hear this how he put everything together, how everything fits, give you the confidence to know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we forget that. And we look around and we say, who's with us?
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
I often kid about my friend Harold that I worked with for so long, a great big bodybuilder guy like Marcos back there, and maybe he's a little bigger, Marcos. But I never had a fear in my life when I was with Harold. But I had fears when I wasn't with him. And I've had fears without the Holy Spirit. We can be confident that God has a plan for us, folks.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And He's not going to leave us alone.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for working with us today. Thank you for taking us where we are to where we need to be. Lord, bless Brother Glenn for bringing that message to us. And Lord, thank you for this church. Work in this church. Lord. You've got a plan specifically for this group of people, Lord. This body.
Thank you, oh God.
And we thank you ahead of time. We thank you before we know it clearly. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you.
I will look at you.